This year, in a world with so many podcasts that do little more than talk about stuff and talk about other stuff too, you need a hero. You need a podcast with really, really, really good words. With all due respect, entertainment, politics, and life. The podcast that speaks to you, whether you listen or not. Now playing in Apple, Spotify, and all other streaming services.
In our life segment, in the heart of the urban jungle of Anchorage, Alaska, there is but one man who can navigate the history of a town embedded with contradictions. From grizzly burger and clinker daggers to the Sundowner drive-in movie theater, only one man can separate fact from fiction when it comes to the history of Anchorage life. Mr. David Reamer.
In our life segment, in the year 1966, for less than 12 hours, Anchorage and its residents experienced Beatlemania up close and personal in downtown.
It was June 27, 1966, and the Beatles of all bands, the biggest band on the planet, had landed in Anchorage. It was supposed to be just a quick stop, a refueling, but then a mechanical issue was discovered with the plane that kept it grounded. And after enough of a delay, they simply couldn't go forward as there were curfews at the Japanese airports. In that timeline of the Beatles, this is 5 days after they'd finished recording the material for Revolver, and 2 months before their last paid concert. By pure coincidence, their movie Help was playing at the Billiken Drive-In in town. About 2 to 3 hours, the Beatles just sat there on the plane with nothing to do. They knew nothing about Alaska. They were so bored, they actually started reading the tourist brochures, and they were fascinated by the 1964 earthquake. Finally, their management decided that they couldn't keep their band, these young men, trapped on the plane anymore, so they decided to trap them in a hotel. But by this time, the Anchorage rumor mill was in peak operations. Everything had to go into the energy of spreading the news that the Beatles were not only here in Anchorage, but trapped, that they could not leave. The phone lines were jammed as the gossip spread like electricity. Again, this is 1966. Truly famous performers just didn't come to Alaska, let alone Anchorage specifically. It's considered a major coup when the Turtles played the Alaska Centennial the next year in Fairbanks. Even at the best of the times, in the years to come, most of the acts that visit Alaska tend to arrive well after or before their peak. But the Beatles were trapped here. A bus was ordered, but by the time it left, there was a caravan of honking cars following it through Spinard into downtown and to the Westward Hotel, now the downtown Hilton. And there, the young lads from Liverpool were quickly whisked into room 1050. For several more hours, they sat there, eating some food, ordering some clothes, annoyed, unhappy at the entire situation, bored. George Harrison seemed to be in the best mood, playing around with a Polaroid camera, documenting the moment, thankfully. By now, the radio stations had broke through their regular programming, were just broadcasting the news of the Beatles here, giving not just the hotel, but the room number. And hundreds of teens swarmed their way downtown. Some of them wanted to, but unfortunately their parents locked up their daughters instead of allowing them to fall risk to some sordid version of Beatlemania. But for the hundred of teens that did make their way downtown, they surrounded it, chanting, "We want the Beatles." For the kids, they had to have thought that this was building to something, that this was going to be a moment in their lives, something not seen before or after in Anchorage. Something huge, romantic, historic. They lost their minds when Paul McCartney peeked out of a window, but nothing happened. Around 1 the next morning, the Beatles were back in their bus, back on their plane, and headed out of town. Ringo later said, quote, "Anchorage, Alaska was like a cowboy town to us. It was really like a backwater. My only great memory of Alaska is that at the airport they have a huge, magnificent white bear in a glass case."
The Politics Segment with Andrew and Ethan. Talking more, making sense.
In our Politics Segment, just a week past the first round of the mayor's race here in Anchorage, And Suzanne LaFrance looks to be consolidating all of the votes. Today, Bill Popp, the third-place finisher, stood in the parking lot of City Hall and endorsed Suzanne LaFrance, saying that she was the candidate to take the city forward. Now, on the other side of the ticket, incumbent Mayor Dave Bronson spent his week announcing he's replacing the chief of police of the Anchorage Police Department just less than 30 days before the runoff election. Former mayor of Anchorage, Ethan Berkowitz, what the world is going on, my friends?
Andrew, I turn to you for answers, and you're turning to me? I think we're going to be in some kind of cat chasing its own tail situation here. Hey, you know, when I look at what's happening, let me start with the APD situation, because I think we can dispense with that first. There's so many questions with that. You know, I have a soft spot for the police department. We spent a lot of time building that department into one of the finest departments in the country, and it's been dismantled by Mayor Bronson. Staffing is down significantly, but they have her. You know, Chief Curley is supposed to go on a cruise. Now, going on a cruise used to be a euphemism for something else. And I just find that very peculiar. He'd go on a cruise a month before the end of the mayoral term. Second thing that I want to say is Bianca Cross, who's named to replace him, has had sort of a meteoric rise of late at APD. And I'd be curious to know what's really behind that rise. The third thing that I would ask about is there's some existing APD command staff officers that were jumped over here. And I'm thinking in particular of Sean Case, who many had regarded as a chief in waiting, an incredible officer. And what happened to Sean? Where is Captain Case going to go, and why wasn't he chosen? So a lot of questions here. The other questions are, is there any kind of chess game that the mayor, I shouldn't say chess, maybe checkers game that the mayor's playing, trying to insert people into the command structure that would have an impact on how the department performs? Those are some pretty significant questions that we have at this point.
Well, and I'm going to speak just from the political side of it, okay, because I'm not acquainted with Officer Cross. I do believe, actually, Ethan, she was one of the first officers on the downtown patrol years ago when I was at ACDA. As a matter of fact, I think there's a picture of me and her on the on my Facebook page. She was, when you were elected mayor and you restaffed the police force and put patrols downtown, she was one of those officers. So I can't speak to the rise within APD, but I do want to speak to the political timing. Okay, this is a mayor who under him, the APD is short dozens of officers, right? Dozens of officers. And so, you know, he makes this change, you know, less than 30 days before the election. And it's just, to me, it just seems like it smacks of a Hail Mary. Right. I mean, he's clearly been through the first round. He sees the initial overnight polling. It clearly shows Suzanne LaFrance consolidating the votes. This, to me, seems to be a Hail Mary from Mayor Dave Bronson. And I don't understand it, because it doesn't address the fact that this department is so has been so poorly run under his administration.
Well, choosing a chief is a deliberate process, and it's not something that happens overnight. So there clearly was some kind of internal process. It would be very interesting to know what that process was, who the other candidates for promotion were, why the current chief is leaving at this particular time. Like I said, there's a lot of circumstantial evidence here that something is amiss. You know, circumstantial evidence, like when you find tracks in the snow, you know it snowed the night before. There are tracks in the snow here.
Well, and I do have to say this, you know, we have been saying on this podcast for at least 8 months that this was going to be a one-term mayor, right? So if I'm the police chief, right, I mean, I'm I'm jumping out of the plane and pulling the cord, you know, 6-7 months ago. I agree with you. There's something going on here. I do believe that this is a last ditch Hail Mary for Mayor Bronson. I don't know what he expects to accomplish from this, because at the end of the day, the department is still really understaffed and morale is still incredibly low. So I'm not quite sure what he hopes to accomplish. But again, it shows that you've got an incumbent mayor 30 days before he's facing a runoff election, and he replaces the chief of police. Now, you know, 3 years ago, of course, you'll remember the chief resigned because he saw, obviously, the mayor was coming to the end of their term, and that's not uncommon, right? I mean, chiefs or department administrators or heads see the end of the road, right? Because their mayor or governor is coming to the end of their term and they know they're going to need to look for a job. But here you have a mayor going into reelection who's replacing his APD chief just 30 days before he's going to stand again. I mean, this to me smacks of politics, left, right, middle, up, down.
If it smells bad, you need to look at what's happening.
All right. And it's and you know, it's breakup, so everything smells bad. So again, critical thinking, people, critical thinking. All right, let's move to state
politics. Your nose is way better than mine.
All right, let's switch to politics on the state level. This week, Governor Mike Dunleavy holds a press conference, right, for the second time in less than a month, and waves around a public opinion study or actually a study, right? The first study we talked ad nauseum about on this podcast, it was a Rutgers study that was done a couple of months ago, that the day after Governor Dunleavy waved it around to the public, the publishers, the writers, the authors of the study said it was garbage, okay? So he's already 0-1. Then this week he stands up again, holds up a poll from Dittman Research, a 50-year-old polling company here in Alaska. He spends like the first 30 seconds of his press conference talking about what a credible poll this is and how credible this firm is. And the first thing I see when I look at the numbers of this poll, even the top line, is that this is not a poll the governor should have trotted out. Ethan, your thoughts on the matter.
There's three thoughts that occur to me anytime politicians rely on polls. First, you should not govern by polls. You should govern by principle. The second thing is, do not cherry pick numbers or questions in a poll in order to justify the outcome that you want. In other words, don't bootstrap your arguments. And the third thing is, make sure you're reading the poll accurately. You know, for example, the demographics in a poll have to match and mirror the population. You know, if there's, you want a poll that if there's 30% of the population is college grads, you want to make sure the poll reflects the fact that 30% of the polling is measured against that number. And those sort of demographics are really important. So, you know, I'm highly suspicious when politicians rely on polls in order to justify a policy decision that they're making.
All right, so let's jump into this poll. Dittman Research conducted the poll March 20th to 24th, 810 respondents. Now, let's circle back to what you said, okay? A lot of this is based on the sample that you poll, okay? And I have to tell you, this poll is alarmingly bad. First off, when you look at the top line, 50% of the people polled had college graduates. 50% are college graduates. Now, in the state of Alaska, in the entire state of Alaska, no more than 28% of the residents are college graduates. Now, you would think, first off, right out of the gate, you would think that an education survey should be weighted on education samples, right? But you're polling almost twice as many college grads that exist in the state and asking them questions about K through 12, okay?
Well, that's what I meant, is you need to weight the demographics. So if you got 50% of your polling sample is college grads and it's really 30% of the public, you need to weight the poll accordingly. You need to make sure that what they call the crosstabs in a poll accurately reflect the population. Otherwise, you're going to blow the numbers up.
And of course, there were no crosstabs. The governor's office just provided a link to the top lines. Now, let's go through the numbers. 810 surveyed. 61% of these 810 had no kids in school. That means almost 500 of 810 respondents had no kids in K through 12. None. So in opposite of that, 37%, only 37% of the kids polled, or 37% of the respondents polled had kids in school. That's 300 out of 810. So automatically you're dealing with almost 200, you're polling 200 more people that do not have kids in school. But this is the thing, Ethan, and I want to get your take on this. The first question, I believe the first question of this poll stuns me the most of any poll I've seen, because bear in mind, the governor of the state of Alaska held a press conference, waved this poll around, told everybody what a credible polling agency that Dittman was, and then handed out a poll where the first question showed that 65% of the respondents believe the state of Alaska is on the wrong track. Now, bear in mind, Governor Mike Dunleavy has been in office for 6 years, and you are waving around a poll, right?
It's only six years. It feels like so much longer.
6 years. You're waving around a poll after you're leading the ship of state for 6 years, and 65% believe the state is on the wrong track. I mean, my God, that's like a kid busting through the door going, "Mom, Dad, look, I got an F." Like, sweet, 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 sweet. What, again, you know, you look at this. When you look at the poll, Ethan, this is what stuns me, is more people believe that public education is on the right track than Governor Dunleavy's leadership of Alaska. And it's incredible, because those that give the school districts A or Bs is 19%. 19% of the respondents of this poll gave the school district, their public education, A and Bs, versus only 16% that said that the state of Alaska is on the right track. I mean, that's just stunning to me. And this was supposed to be an education poll. And what Governor Dunleavy's poll showed was that more people believe that public education is on track than Governor Dunleavy's administration.
Yeah, you know, they say there's statistics, damn statistics, and lies. And people are going to look at all those numbers, and they're going to draw their own conclusions. But again, this is the problem with trying to govern by poll. You need to govern by principle. And, you know, when people trot out polls, what they're sort of doing is hiding in the process, and they're not putting forward a policy, and they're not articulating a vision. You don't do things just because you have concocted numbers that show that the majority of people want you to do that. You do things because it is empirically the right thing to do. And if not empirically, then you can at least construct a logical argument as to why you're proceeding down this course. And this is the failure. The fact that Governor Dunleavy is using a poll, to me, it's a fig leaf that he's using to try and hide the inadequacy of his policies.
Well, one of the stats that jumped out at me, and bear in mind, this is the question that received the highest percentage of yes or positive responses in the entire poll. 77% believe public schools needed more funding. Let me repeat that. 77% believed public schools needed more funding. So that means 77% of the respondents supported more funding, the same funding that the governor just vetoed. And the governor is standing before God and country waving around this poll. It's like, "Hey, man, you know, remember when I vetoed 200 million? Hey, man, look at this. Look at this. All right, 77% of the people disagree with me." I mean, that's the equivalent of what that's doing. Here's another one. Let me throw this other one at you real quick. 75% believe there should be open enrollment. It already exists. And that's the problem with this poll, is when you boil it down and you look at the two questions that really cut to the heart. A, how do you feel about the direction of the state of Alaska? And B, do you believe that K through 12 public education needs more funding? Those are really the only two direct questions in the context, in the substantive content of this poll. The rest are like, "Oh, do you believe in reforms?" Well, sure, of course. You know, 57% of the people are going to say reforms in education, or 71% are going to say great. But the fact of the matter is, what reforms? And as we've talked ad nauseum on this podcast, every reform that Governor Dunleavy wants to make, local communities, local school boards, and legislators vehemently oppose. So it's like, you know, this dude is taking this poll. First, he's reading the numbers wrong. But the numbers, even reading the numbers wrong, show that this is a governor who's doing a very poor job, my friend. Very, very poor job.
So, Andrew, there we go again. Cherry picking the numbers to suit our conclusion. The fact is, these are not principle-driven positions. These are poll-driven positions. Or if they are principle-driven positions, then articulate the reasons for them. Don't trot out a poll and say, you know, a certain number of people support me, and therefore that's why I'm doing this. That's not how you govern. That's not leadership.
Well, and the entire poll rests on questions that are out of context. I mean, you know, for instance, you know, this whole idea about reforms, one of the things that's come very clear in the last 2 weeks while Governor Dunleavy and his minions are saying, oh, my God, there's 2,000 kids waiting on the list of charter schools. There was a Anchorage school board member that testified recently, said, no, it's 199. What happens is parents apply for multiple schools. So it's like, you know, even the policies, even the quote unquote reforms that Governor Dunleavy is pushing for, they're not reforms. I mean, really, it's basically about stripping communities of local control. That's all this is about.
That's that bad math, that fuzzy math. There we go. Misinterpreting data. The other thing that I want to point out about this poll is a lot of the, and this is sort of how policy debates are being framed. They're being framed in the disjunctive. In other words, they're being framed as you can do this or that. Instead of the more expansive, let's do this and that. And that's really how you can be much more aspirational and much more inclusive and much more successful in the long run. Don't just give people one choice, give them multiple choices. And you're going to have to fund education accordingly. It will be a better system then.
All right, real quick to wrap up, a couple of points. One, it's been a month since he vetoed SB 140. Where the hell has this guy been? He's been spending $37,000 to take a public opinion poll that shows he's failing at his job. Number two, none of these questions added context, like, yeah, we're the most expensive state to educate children in the country. Or, we have the highest cost of living in the country. Or, we have the most heavily traumatized children in the country. Violence, neglect, domestic violence abuse. And also, schools haven't had an increase in 7 years, so they're kind of like starving. I mean, none of this context was provided, and that's what kills me, is even though no context was provided, the survey still shows that Governor Mike Dunleavy is failing at his job.
Andrew, these are not the droids you're looking for. What's going on here is we're being shown a portion of a poll in order to justify a position that the governor's trying to take. And we don't know what the totality of the poll is all about. And so what I'm saying is when he's saying these are not the droids you're looking for, look for the droids.
Well, and I will tell you this, and we'll close on this note. Was the question in the poll that received one of the highest negatives was the question whether or not people wanted to pay for students to go to the school of their choice. So basically the respondent said, oh yeah, I support school choice. Oh yeah, let's have open enrollment. And then most of them said, no, man, I don't want to pay for it though. And that cuts to the heart of exactly what Governor Mike Dunleavy's trying to do. And it cuts to the heart of why communities and school boards are being so defensive. They're like, look, man, you know, charter schools are successful for a reason. Right? They're successful for a reason. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to dilute the reason and create all kinds of problems. And that's why there's been so much pushback on charter schools from the local level, because they are genuinely a product of local communities and local parents. It's an incubator. It's a laboratory, right? And you don't need Governor Dunleavy and his failing administration, where 65% of the people in his own poll say the state is on the wrong track. Look, my friend Ethan, I've been around the track a number of times, and the first lesson I learned is you don't put assets in people's hands who don't know how to manage assets. Am I right, my brother?
You are totally right. And that is my opinion.
And we will leave it there.
Good day, noble lords and ladies, esteemed gentlemen and gentlewomen. Let us cherish the moments we share, for they are fleeting and precious. As we prepare to bid thee farewell on this fair day, let us not dwell solely on the past. Let us seize the moment with courage and conviction, and forge ahead into the unknown that should be known in a segment we call Closing Comments.
In closing comments, a programming note. Please join us for our next episode, which I'm very excited about. It will be called 9 Minutes with Suzanne LaFrance. No idle chatter, just the discussion that matters. Take care, everyone.